Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
Tonight we are going to talk about the power of perseverance. Yeah, I know I'm probably in the wrong church. Nobody needs to hear this. Am I in the wrong place? Am I in the right place? Yes. Did God have it right tonight? Yes. Did he have it right? Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we all have it right and we got here tonight to hear what God's got to say. Amen? And again, just when me and Pastor, when we come, we don't just come and bring the word of God. Although we come, we bring the word of God. But as we come and bring the words of God, I always want to remind you, the power to do the word is so available to us as we believe and just take a hold of that. Everything we're going to hear tonight, we're not expected to do on our own. My Lord, he knows we're just a bunch of dingbats without him. We can't do it without him. But in him, through him, by him, glory to God, we can do this thing. And we can not just do it, we can more than do it, glory to God. And not just for us, we're going to help others do it too. Amen? And I know we might have heard this before. I think there's books written on it before. But it was so just penetrating my heart today was those words, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Okay, we're done. Praise the Lord. Guys, that's just got to be good enough. When we get a real hold of understanding that we cannot be defeated. Cannot be defeated. Once we get a hold of that, and I'm telling you, with this word comes powerful revelation light just to illuminate our hearts tonight. Don't expect to leave the same, but I cannot be defeated. The more that works in us, the more that becomes alive to us. Yeah, I know, I cannot be defeated. I will not quit, blah, blah, blah. That is, it's lifeless to us. It's going to show on our face. It's going to show in our walk. It's going to show in our talk. It's going to show in our response to life. That we know that I cannot be defeated. And I will not quit. So because I know that I can't be defeated, that gives me such strength. It gives me such confidence to be able to say then, all right, I'm not quitting then. I'm not quitting because I know I can't be defeated. If we know we can't be defeated, then why would any of us ever quit? I know thoughts will come about quitting. Come on, it comes to the best of us. Thoughts of quitting, thoughts of like, forget this thing, it's hopeless, forget it. Nothing's changing, nothing's working, it's not happening. At those times, we have to remind ourselves of what God's word says. And his word, so many promises about that. It just shows us and it proves to us that we cannot be defeated. Jesus, the victorious one, lives on the inside of us. He won the victory for us. We're not struggling to get through this life to try and get the victory. We're supposed to be walking through this life victoriously because we have the victory. Amen. That's who you are. Why don't you just say, that's who I am? It's who I am. I am victorious. We are one with victory. Come on, let's just see who we are. Let's see who we're connected to. Let's see who lives on the inside of us. Come on, guys. Sometimes you just got to stir it up when nobody's around but you and Jesus. Stir it up. Stir up that victory. Stir up that mentality of I cannot be defeated. And because I know I can't be defeated, glory to God, I'm choosing. It's a choice. I will not. I choose to not quit. Now, there's lots of people, they choose to quit. Guess what? Wrong choice. Wrong decision. Staying in the battles of life will not hurt you. They'll only convert you. And sometimes, who knows, sometimes we're just so protective of our flesh. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to get hurt. We're so protective of our flesh. Staying in the battles of life is not going to hurt you. It's only going to help convert you. It's only going to help change us. And who knows, we need change. There's things that still need to be changed, whether we know it or not. There is. Some of us are very aware of it. Others might not be as aware of it, but nonetheless, it doesn't change that everyone needs more change. Amen. But you know, Jesus guaranteed our victory. Glory to God. Sometimes we just got to stop and think about that. When we're striving and struggling to get a victory, we got to just get in the right mentality of like, I'm not struggling for nothing. I just need to receive from him everything. It's not a struggle. The fight's over. The victory's been won. And we're the winners. So Jesus guaranteed us the victory. The only thing we need is perseverance. Perseverance. Over in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, we're not going to turn there, but in the CEV version, listen to what it says in Revelation 14, 12. God's people must learn to endure. Do we have any of God's people in the place tonight? God's people must learn to endure. And I know we get excited, we'll learn about prosperity and learn about, you know, all these great things, you know, but endure, that isn't exciting to the flesh. That isn't an exciting word necessarily to the carnal, unrenewed mind. But endure is a very exciting, taking on the challenge type of word to the spiritually minded. It gets us excited. Us meaning the real us. Because we know that we need this perseverance. God's people must learn to endure. They must also obey his commands and have faith in Jesus. So we must learn to endure. Everybody say, I must learn to endure. And who knows, life gives us many opportunities. Daily. Hour by hour. Minute by minute. Sometimes second by second, to learn to endure. We must possess perseverance. We must. It's not like, oh, yeah, I know, yeah, God, you know, show me, yeah, I need perseverance. It's a must. God said his people must. Everybody say must. God said his people must learn to endure. And look, it's a learning. It's not like all of a sudden, boom, overnight, okay, yep, I got it. There's a learning to endure. There's a growing up in it. Amen? But who knows? We got to start somewhere. And wherever we are tonight, wherever you are on the ladder of endurance, so to say, of perseverance, let's decide to go up. Let's decide to go up. Let's decide to step it up. So we must learn to endure. We must possess perseverance. Okay, so next thing, well, what's your question? Okay, well, how do I possess it? Tell me. If I'm about to tell you right now, I've got the answer. So we heard that God's saying, my people must have it. You must endure. You must have perseverance. So what your next thing is like, okay, I mean, I'm understanding some seriousness here. God's saying, this is something I must have. I must have it. Okay, then tell me how to get it, right? Isn't that what you would think of asking me? Well, tell me how to get it. And our attitude really needs to be, tell me how to get it so I can get it. Tell me how to get it so I can do what I need to do to get what I need to get. And that's perseverance. But even right there, you know, sometimes I'm telling you, our souls, you know, that flesh, you know, the working together, it just, even in this moment, it tries to shrink back and be like, but I don't know what it's going to take. And I'm not sure if I want to do that. You don't even know what the answer is yet, right? But I'm saying sometimes in our thought, we're like, wait, what is it? Well, how am I supposed to possess this perseverance? I'm not sure if I'm willing to pay the price. And that can't be a question in our minds. I mean, it's important to our life. So we want to be like, what is that answer? And whatever that answer is, by golly, by the grace and power of God, I'm going to do what it takes. Do I have any people that are willing to do what it takes to get what God says we must have? You ready? Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. So remember that we're not shrinking back. We are pressing in, saying, God, what is it? What do I need to do? How do I possess this perseverance that I know I need? And that we would be so willing to do what it takes. It's almost like I hear, it's like the Spirit of God, he does plead. There is such a need. There is such a need for perseverance in every single one of our lives. Romans chapter 5. Let's just start in verse 1 because it's kind of a long run-on sentence. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. So what does it take? How do we possess perseverance? It tells us right here, tribulation produces perseverance. I've come with an exciting word for us tonight. Come on, you all just missed a grand opportunity to just take a lap around the room. Come on. In the Amplified, it says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. This tribulation produces perseverance. Tribulation produces perseverance. So if we want perseverance, we need tribulation. So then why are we like, oh God, why this? Or how could this be happening? How could this be? If it's called tribulation, it's supposed to be happening. And what it's supposed to be doing is it's supposed to be working in us, not throwing us off course. It's supposed to be working in us to help us stay on course and finish the course. Glory to God. Perseverance. Shout perseverance. Oh, let me at it, Jesus. When perseverance is what you want and need, and you know tribulation is the production center of it, then you will rejoice in tribulation. We need to seize the opportunity to grow. And come on, we have lots of opportunities to grow. But just because tribulation comes our way doesn't necessarily mean we grow. Because you know what? If that was the case, we would all be spiritual giants. If tribulation caused us to persevere and grow, we wouldn't be able to fit in this room. We'd be such giants in the faith. It's not what does it. But I want to bring out some definitions. You know how I love the Greek. That word glory, first of all, but we also glory. In my Bible, I crossed that out and I wrote rejoice. It's the same Greek word as rejoice, which is what we read in verse 2. Remember when he says, through in whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope? It's the same word. That glory is the same word as rejoice. So, and not only that, but we also, so we don't only rejoice with that, but also we rejoice in tribulation. You see that? So just like we're going to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I mean, if we said, oh, there's a hope of the glory of God, would we not be rejoicing in the hope for the glory of God? Isn't that something when we hear that, it's like, well, that's easy to rejoice, it seems, right? Yeah, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Amen. So that glory is the same as rejoice. And here's another, you know, it's not just rejoice like, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, someone might be like, oh, you know, oh, I'm rejoicing. Oh, I'm, praise God, hallelujah. It's more than that. It is to express an unusually high degree of confidence. It's to express an unusually high degree of confidence in someone or something being exceptionally noteworthy. So it's not just hallelujah, praise the Lord. That hallelujah, praise the Lord is coming from deep within, and it is expressing an unusually high degree of confidence. Who knows? We have God's word. It is our anchor. It is full of God's will and purpose and promises to us. We can have confidence in every single word of this book. Let's look what that word tribulations mean. You ready what that means? I want to just simplify that. Tribulations, what does that mean? In the Greek, it means pressure. Just simply pressure. Anybody have any pressure today? You have some pressure? That's what tribulations is. So it's not like this big, huge event of a tribulation. It's just the simple pressures and tests and trials in life that come to us every single day. So rejoice and express your confidence in the pressures. That's what we can make out of what I just said now. We can rejoice, right? Glory means to rejoice. Rejoice and express our confidence in the pressures. I know that doesn't make sense to our head, does it? Rejoice and express your confidence in the pressures. Why? Because the pressure is producing something. That pressure is producing something. And it's not to be panic. The devil would like it in that pressure, it to produce panic, going the natural carnal way, yielding just to the natural or to the enemy, you know, just to the flesh. But in that pressure, we have what it takes, glory to God, to persevere through by the very power and presence of God on the inside of me and you. We've got what it takes. God would be such an unfair, unjust Father God to expect us to do something that he didn't give us the power to do. And he does absolutely expect us to grow in our perseverance through tribulations. Why? Because that's how he said we get perseverance, through tribulation. Are we just gonna just have a little pity party because things aren't going our way the way we think they should? Allow yourself to let God shine and flow through and persevere. The greater one's on the inside of you. You can do it. You can more than do it. And more than that, he fully expects us to do it. He's not expecting you to fail. He's expecting us to win. Why? Because he already won. He's not expecting us to. God has full faith, absolute confidence that we're going to win. And how are we going to win? By persevering through. So he has full confidence that we're going to persevere. So when that pressure comes, when those trials, when those tests come, and they come in all shapes, forms, and sizes, and circumstances, but no matter how they come, know in that moment, you've got what it takes, glory to God, and we'll persevere through. We won't yield to the flesh and panic and fear, but we will press through with the perseverance of God, knowing he is right here with me to see me through. I cannot be defeated, so I will not quit. That's just all it takes. I cannot be defeated, so I'm not gonna quit. Why would you quit if you knew you wouldn't be defeated? You wouldn't. So we don't. It's really pretty simple, isn't it? Because pressures produce something. I want to say what that word produce means in the Greek. So we're learning that pressures produce something. Produce, to accomplish, to perform successfully, to do thoroughly. Those pressures are producing something. Those pressures are thoroughly working and producing perseverance in our life as we give him place, as we look to him, as we decide and continue to make the choice, I'm not quitting, I'm not giving in. It's a determination, but it's a determination that is so able and should be based on such truth and such confidence in the scriptures of what he has said for each one of us. So we can say this now. Pressures are successfully performing something in us. Pressure, right? That's that word tribulation. Pressures, tests, various trials that come to us. They are to be successfully performing something in us. And what is that? Perseverance. Perseverance. Listen to what this means in the Greek. The capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Don't think you're the only one with difficult circumstances. That's just like pride, thinking you're the only one going through something. Like, woe is me. Everybody's got stuff. And it shouldn't be written all over our face so everybody knows we've got stuff going on. There can be stuff going on around us, but we are at such peace inside of us that you can't even tell. Not that we're hiding something, we're just not giving place to something. Just don't give it place. So it shouldn't be written all over our face. If you're not giving it place, it's not going to be written all over your face or coming all out of your mouth. Perseverance, capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. So again, there's a lot of different lives represented in here tonight. What are the difficult circumstances that if we asked you to stand up and give some, you know, difficult circumstances that are going on with you right now? We've all got things, difficult circumstances, whatever it might be in whatever area of life we've got going on. It's not the tribulation or the pressures that produce the perseverance. No, it's how we go through the tribulation. That's what's going to produce it. That rejoicing in hope all the way to the end. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about difficult circumstances. I mean, there's difficult stuff. We can't get lost in the difficultness and all of that. We've got to take a hold of the perseverance. Here's some other words it means. Steadfastness, constancy, endurance. It's a patient, steadfast waiting for. That's one of the definitions for perseverance. A patient, steadfast waiting for. Not waiting if. Waiting for. So rejoice. So all of that together, those different definitions that I brought out in the Greek and those things I said, here, I put this together here. All that together. Rejoice and express your confidence in the pressures that are successfully performing a thorough work of perseverance in you. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Rejoice and express your confidence in the pressures that are successfully performing a thorough work of perseverance in you. That's what's happening as we give place to God as we're going through when these pressures come. When we yield to the God, when we yield to the Spirit of God and not to the pressures, we yield to Him. This perseverance is working in us. Our rejoicing is in the overcoming of that pressure. We're not rejoicing as, oh, I've got pressure. We're not, you know, duh. Our rejoicing is in the overcoming of that pressure, trial or test, with the Word of God and the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you are enduring, you are maturing. We've heard that before around here. As you are enduring, you are maturing. The mature endure. So we all are to be growing up, are we not? Some of us are at different stages in our you know, life with God. You know, there's the babyhood, but we are all at different stages, but all through, who knows, you don't expect your one-year-old to keep acting like a one-year-old when they're five or when they're 10, right? You expect them to grow with their age, right? Well, God's expecting the same from us. We are to be growing too. But we're learning that growing comes through persevering through those tests and trials and pressures that come to you. So as you're enduring, you are maturing. Let's turn to James chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That word patience there is the same Greek word for perseverance over in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 that we were referring to. It's the same word. So I'm going to say perseverance instead. That the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That sounds like maturity, doesn't it? We need to let perseverance have its perfect work in us so we can be perfect and made complete and not lack anything. Hallelujah. In the Amplified, listen to this. You ready? Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in and encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Be assured, he said, and understand. It's time for us to understand. It's all part of God's plan. He's saying to us, understand. Be assured, be confident that the trial and the proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work. Don't quit. When the pressure starts pressing you, what are you gonna do? I'm not gonna quit. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to cave in. I'm going to press in. And he's going to bring me through as I look to him. And the same with you. Let it have full play and do a thorough work. Who knows? Sometimes we start out enduring, persevering. I mean, we're on it, right? But then we want to let it play all the way through. Let it be a thorough work in us that God is able to do. So that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, sounds like maturity, with no defects, lacking in nothing. Listen to the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, anybody have trouble come their way? Anybody, does it seem like trouble follows you on your way? Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Everybody shout joy.
Joy.
Not discouragement, not disappointment, not rejection. Joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
It's an opportunity for joy. Come on, you know we're given lots of opportunities for joy. For when your faith is tested, think about it. What faith has to be tested. And really, it's our love for God being tested. How can we prove our faith and our love for God if it's not tested and we can't prove it to him? This is proving our love for him. This is proving our faith in him. This is something we're to be growing in. So every opportunity, we look to it, and we're going to do these things. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Notice it has a chance to grow. It doesn't say when your faith is tested, your endurance grows. Not automatically. It's got a chance to grow. But we're learning some things tonight that we need to know. So then in those moments, it can grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. You will be strong in character and ready for anything. Come on, guys. God is looking to mature his saints, and he does this through tests, trials, tribulations, pressures of life. Not that he brings those, but that God doesn't do that. Because it says God can't tempt anyone. But those things happen for reasons in our life. But I can't get off on that because I'll lose myself. But God doesn't do that. But as we're walking through this life, we were promised it. I mean, we're in this world. This world, it's a cursed earth. We live in this world. Now, thank God when you're born again, I'm in this world. But I am not of this world. I am not from this world. And you got to remind yourself, this is not my home. I'm not getting cozy in it. This is not my home. I'm in it, but I am not of it. I'm in this cursed earth, but glory to God, I am not going to be connected to this cursed earth. I'm connected to heaven. So we need perseverance to hold on to what's been given to us. We need perseverance to hold on what's been given to us. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 4. It's the parable of the soils. We're just going to pick it up, though, and just pick it up in verse 16. These likewise, you can read it later. We're just, for time's sake, we're just picking it up in 16 here. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation, same Greek word, pressure, test, trials, when pressure comes, when test and trial come, or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. In the New Living Translation, it says, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go down very deep. At first, they get along fine, but they wilt as soon as they have problems or are persecuted because they believe the word. You can just kind of see, it's like, at first they get along fine. Here we hear the word and, oh, we get along fine. We're receiving the word, you know, with joy when we come to church, you know. And then there's a holding on to what we're given in this place. Amen. And we need perseverance to hold on to the word of God is what we're learning here. We need perseverance to hold on to the words that are spoken, that are given to us. Because look, at first they get along fine, but they wilt. It's kind of like, have you ever felt like you're on top of the world? But then, so everything at first you get along fine, but then we, as soon as a problem comes, we wilt. Has anybody ever wilted like a flower before? I'm just thinking of my flower out on my deck. There's this one yellow flower, bless its heart. I mean, it is so demanding of water. I mean, as soon as the water dries up, it's like, there it goes, it's wilted again. I have to go put water out there. Pops back up. After a little while, the sun's beating down on it, pressures of the sun, it wilts again. But that's what I'm picturing, just like a flower kind of just wilting. Okay? But they wilt as soon as they have problems. Do we wilt as soon as we have a problem? Come on, guys. We've all been there, done that. But we are learning to not let that happen anymore. Amen. We're not going to wilt, and our faith's going to go tilt when pressure comes. We're not going to all of a sudden doubt and think, I guess the word doesn't work and I'll just have to do without. No, we're going to persevere through. You've got what it takes on the inside of you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, no more wilting. Now point to yourself. No more wilting. Amen. Just add water, the water of the word, and you won't wilt anymore. So perseverance will not just get you through stuff. I got this earlier. Perseverance won't just help get you through stuff, but it will get you to stuff. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. We don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's how we get the promises. Through faith and patience, perseverance, endurance, steadfastness. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10 through 12, it's in the middle of a prayer that Paul was praying for them here. What a prayer to pray over yourself. I pray this over the church when the Holy Ghost leads me to. It is just such a powerful prayer in the middle of it there. Verse 10 through 12, it says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience, we could say perseverance, and long suffering with joy. We can't increase God's way without this perseverance, without patience. You can't increase without patience. We can't increase without perseverance. And who does? We want to increase in every area of life. We're looking to mature, right? To grow up and to increase. It ain't going to happen without patience and perseverance. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to put it down. And we're going to look at you, and you're going to be wearing a frown. You're going to wilt. You're going to tilt. It's not going to be good. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Listen to what this says. You're taking notes, just mark it down. They'll put it up on the screen. Hebrews 10, 35. Therefore, do not. Everybody say, do not. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Same Greek word, perseverance. You have need of perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, isn't willing to persevere, press through, but they draw back instead, God says, my soul has no pleasure in them. So God's soul has no pleasure in those who do not persevere. But that's not us, is it? No. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We're just going to read that in the NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run with perseverance. We're to be running our race with this perseverance. And in order to do that, who knows? Those that are runners, they know. That's why it says before that about throwing off everything that hinders. Who knows? It talks about weights and sins. You know, there's some things that might just be weights to you that are not necessarily sin in God's eyes, but they might be weights to you. And runners know they don't want any weight. I mean, they wear those special sneakers, those special clothing, just because as they're running, you know, they don't want any weight, anything holding them back. I mean, they're just full steam ahead. Amen. So us, as we are running our race, we also want to be sure that we are throwing off everything that would try to hinder us from running full steam ahead. I don't want to be slowed down. How about you? And you know, there, let me say, you know, so I said, I don't want to be slowed down. How about you? It's like if we would, because I just think sometimes we don't take the word seriously enough. I mean, the word here is telling us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Why should we be shocked when, how is this happening? How did this happen? It says right here in the Bible, sin does so easily entangle people. You can't mess with sin. It sucks you in. It so easily will entangle you. Even the best of you, the best of us. Getting messing around with sin, it will so easily entangle us. That's what the Bible says. But then even just the weights, just the things, just things that just seem to slow us down from not running the race. You know, maybe we're not spending that time with God that in our heart we know we want to do. And, you know, that's going to help us grow. And, you know, if we're not doing these things, they can just be weights to us, not necessarily sin, but it can be a weight to us. It can weigh on our confidence with Him when you're just kind of not fulfilling what's in your heart to begin. But we want to take this seriously because there really is going to be a day when our race is going to be over and not everyone is going to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Everyone thinks that's so automatic, don't we? I believe as the Christianity, they just automatically think, yep, I'm going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." No, you've been, it goes on, I don't remember, but good and faithful servant. Well, am I a good and faithful servant? That's the one He's going to say well done to. So in times like this, in moments like this, and in teachings like this, and convictions like this, we want to really seriously take a hold of the words that are being spoken and really know that now we're responsible for some things now. Every time we hear the words, we're responsible to the degree that we understand and take hold of that word. But at the same token, we also have been given all the power that we need to do that word that we have heard. We can't get there and say, "God, I know you told me to do it, but I couldn't. He's going, "Oh, yes, you could have. You could have, and then some." Sometimes I know we can get so caught up in the here and the now and what we're going through and what God expects us to do. And, all, you know, we just get caught up in life and things going on. And, yeah, we've got all these tribulations to work through, pressures, trials, tests, you know, and we want to produce perseverance. You know, it's, you know, we're focusing. And, you know, sometimes we got to draw back and even realize, why am I doing all of this? Why do I need to hear this? Why do I need to be a doer of what I'm hearing? Why should I not allow myself to be deceived anymore and just hear the word and, by golly, not go and do it? There's no excuse for it. When we start thinking eternity, that we know we're not going to be in this body forever. We're all going to leave this body one day. And we're all going to stand before Him one day. And I just thank God for my pastor, my husband, who really, he has so put that in me. I don't have it like he has it yet, but I'm getting it. But just that vision of heaven, that realness, that reality of heaven, that heaven is really real. And when we die, when our body dies, we just move. And we, hopefully, you're born again, you go to heaven. But the reality of that, we're going to be held accountable for all that we've done, all that we've not done, all that we could have done. We're going to be held accountable for our actions. Aren't your children held accountable for their actions? God's holding us accountable for our actions here. So we really need godly fear. I don't know, I kind of got off a little, but it's all part of it there. But it's like, you know, here I just getting caught up, you know, we're doing all this teaching and, you know, perseverance. And I mean, what an awesome word by the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. You know, that everything that we will come Sunday and pastor will bring us a word from the Holy Ghost, glory to God, whatever that might be. And every time we come, when you get in your word and you're getting things, glory to God, we get excited about the word. We get excited when we get revelation and all of that. But let's never forget at times we need to sometimes just draw back and just experience more of a reality of eternity. Let's not just think about the here and now. Let's definitely not continue to dwell in the past and let that continue to last. There's things I want to remember. I don't want to forget because it helps me realize I know where I was, but I know what He's done. Yes. Hallelujah. And it helps me to continue to win. When I don't forget what He's done, but I don't dwell on the past, but I don't want to forget it. And then the here and the now, I mean, we're busy, right? People, I mean, this is a busy day and age. But I just feel now, it's like the Holy Ghost is just take time. Take time. Think about eternity. Think about what he's going to say on that day. Right now, if you were to leave your body, first of all, where would you really go? We had a great message Sunday morning. You weren't here. Even if we were here, you might want to listen to that again. Where will we go? And then if we can confidently, we know where we're going to go. And if we don't confidently know, we need to work on that and get that fixed. But then we do, we know, well, what's going to happen when I get there? And I just believe, because see, I mean, God, he's got such great things for us. I mean, when we get there, who knows? You love when you get to tell your child, good job, awesome job, right? I mean, who knows? As parents, sometimes we don't really, it's not exciting to our soul, so to say, to have to, you know, address things and say, nope, that wasn't good. You missed it, and you missed it big time. But we know we have to deal with it. Why? Because we love them. So we know we have to deal with them. So us naturally, we know that. So what about God? He loves us. So he knows there's some things he's endeavoring to deal with us about. Why? Because he's rejecting us and thinks you're never going to make it. You're just a loser and a bum. No, because he sees greatness in us, because he's put greatness in us, because he wants to see greatness come out of us, out of every one of us. Not one of us has an excuse. Because right here, right now, you've got him, or you have the opportunity to have him. No excuses. So he loves us. He wants the best. He wants us to succeed. Right? What parent doesn't want their child to succeed? And you love telling them when they succeed. You love telling them when you're so proud of them. Oh, they've made you so proud. Same with God. So just that reality of that day. What are we gonna hear him say? I know we all want it to be well done, good, and faithful servant. What does it go on to say? You've been ruler over the little. You've been faithful over the little. Now I make you ruler over much. So you think you got just a little? That's okay. Be faithful with it. Don't grumble about it. Oh, I just have this little. Be faithful in it. Be faithful with the little, and then you'll be given more. But we expect God to bring us into the more when we're grumbling and complaining about the little we have. That's not how it gets done. Be faithful with the little. That's what he told him, that he was faithful with the little. And now he says, now I'm making you ruler over much. Who in here wouldn't want to be made ruler over much? Now that's not pride. That's just a part of us on the inside. I mean, that's just who we are. It's not pride. We want to do that. It's in us. Well, God wants to see it come through us. Be faithful with the little, whatever your little is, and he's going to make us ruler over much. There's really life going on the other side. It's not just all hanging around the throne room and praising God and you know, all this stuff and all this amazing stuff, but I mean, there's cities. I mean, there's people working. There's stuff going on. I mean, Pastor has shared those things, and it really becomes a reality to you when you hear this. Heaven, it's just not like all of a sudden you're going to have nothing to do. You think you're busy now? If you're faithful with the little down here, he's going to make you ruler over much. You're going to be busy up there too. Amazing thing, just to prove to you, back when I was even a baby Christian, there was a time I remember we were praying, the Fraser family, we were at a gathering, and I remember Mom and Linda, I bet you're going to remember this, Linda and Alan, we were praying, I know Pastor remembers this, it was a long time ago, even when I was just kind of getting involved in the things of the Spirit and just having some really amazing experiences in the Spirit. Amazing. So here's one. I was still so new to this stuff, but here we are. We're praying, and all of a sudden, what I remember was like, and I had never met their grandfather, their mom's dad, your grandfather. We're praying and whatever's going on, and all of a sudden I start telling them that I don't know what this is, but I see your grandfather, you know, I see mom, I see your dad, and he's driving a bus. I mean, and I was like, this is going to sound crazy, but I know I see him driving a bus. And did I not say there were children in it? Yeah, it's like he literally has a job driving a bus, like picking people up and taking them places in heaven. This is what I perceived in the spirit. I speak that out, and it totally freaked them all out. I never met him. I never knew that was his job on this earth. He was a bus driver. The early part of his life, he drove a Greyhound bus. And that's what he loved and talked about. And that's what he loved and he talked a lot about. Guys, I saw in heaven a man I never even met driving a Greyhound bus. Now you think, that's not joy to me. Well, surely you know, it's not joy to me either. But for some crazy reason, it was joy to pop. And that was part of what he was doing up there, transporting, driving people around. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't God good? Just to show that even to the family, and it just gave them that knowing, because, you know, there was not understanding or knowing, you know, did he make it to heaven? And, you know, just that knowing, there he is, doing one of the things he loved the most to do. Has anybody been helped? I believe we have. Hallelujah. Father, wow. Thank you so much for the greatness of your light and revelation in this place shining so bright tonight. You have penetrated through into the hearts and the minds that have come to hear from you. And you have lit up these things that we are to do. You have lit up that we can't be defeated. So we're surely not going to quit. We're sticking with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these great and wonderful things, these truths you've spoken to us tonight. And by the power of your mighty Holy Spirit, we will go out of this place and walk in that which is right. We will walk in this newness of light. Say, I will tonight walk in this newness of light. Hallelujah. And such great changes you shall see, both physically, naturally, and spiritually. Great changes to be. But these great changes must first come through you, you see? Perseverance I've been looking for. Perseverance is what breaks through the door. Perseverance is what pushes on through that opposition that the enemy so tries and stop you. Don't let him stop you. You've got what it takes. You've got the grace. You've got the word. You know the way. Persevere through every trial and test and pressure in your day. Don't forget what I did say. You have need of perseverance. So let it work in you every day. And may you grow up to be the mature ones that I so long to see, the mature ones that can truly be sent, the mature ones that truly will not relent. It's time to be. It's time to do what you do see. It's time to stand. It's time to run in the plan. It's time to be faithful in the little. Do you understand? It's time to take a hold. It's time to get real bold. It's time to let the mysteries of God in your life absolutely unfold, so you can walk through and lay hold of everything that is stored up for you that I have for you to see, to walk in, and to be. But understand, it is not up to me. Perseverance is the key. Now in your life, may I really see. I'm looking, I'm watching, I'm waiting to see perseverance, that confident pressing through and yet waiting. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We hear what you say. And we're going out and doing this, God. In greater power, in greater light. Because of what we have not just heard, but have actually received impartation of tonight. Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.